Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to this Topcraft Limited Q4 FY22 earnings conference call. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on the date of this call. These statements are not the guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participants' lines will be in listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star and zero on your touchtone phone. Please note this conference is being recorded. I'd like to turn the conference over to your host, Mr. Rajendra Gandhi, Managing Director and Promoter. Sir, thank you, and over to you.
Thank you. Good afternoon. Good afternoon, everyone. I hope that all of you and your families are safe and healthy. On behalf of Topcraft Limited, I extend a warm welcome to all participants on Q4 and FY22 financial results discussion call. Today on the call, I am joined by Mr. Rajeev Mehta, our CEO, Mr. Balaji AS, our CFO, and the Orient Capital team, who are our investor relations advisor. We are pleased to inform you that your company has crossed 1,000 crore revenue for the first time and posted a revenue of 1,136 crores, an increase of 32% over last year. While EBITDA and profit after tax for the year stood at 108 crores and 56.4 crores respectively. We witnessed a challenging external environment with global supply chain volatility, fuel and commodity price pressures in Q4 FY22. Overall, the consumer sentiments look strong and opening up the economy and the markets. We witnessed strong growth in offline revenues backed by addition of about 27,000 outlets during the year. E-commerce channels continued to grow steadily at 36.4% year-on-year. During the fourth quarter, we recorded a revenue of 261 crores, an increase of 11% over the last year. The growth in YOY revenues was contributed by 18% growth in volumes and 11% increase in the cost of selling. Despite the increase in selling price, the impact of higher raw material prices continued to cause a decline in gross margins and EBITDA margins by 450 basis points and 265 basis points respectively when compared to the same period last year. EBITDA and profit after tax for Q4 FY22 stood at 21.1 crore and 8.8 crores respectively. During FY22, our pressure cooker category had a volume growth of 26% and accounted for 24% of our revenues. We continue to rapidly grow our LED business, and during FY22, we achieved a volume growth of 18%, and this business contributed to 7% of our total revenues. Our small appliances business saw a volume growth of 17% and contributed 30% to our total revenues. Our domestic non-stick cookware category had a volume growth of 24%, while the export business saw a decline due to the non-availability of containers. There was a disruption in logistics of sea freight logistics. The revenues under our cooktop category, we had a volume growth of 30% while contributing to 22% of our revenues. In addition, the company started power generation through our own installation of solar panels on our factory rooftops and a windmill at Ujjaini, Chitradurga, Karnataka. Both these initiatives are expected to generate 50% of our requirement of power for FY23. And on an blended cost, it will amount to a saving of 35% on our power cost for FY23. I am pleased to inform we have successfully completed the acquisition of Skawa, which we announced in the last quarter. The commercial production for Skawa is just beginning in this month of May 22. For the year ended 2022, our ROCE stood at 16.7%, net debt stood at INR 62 crores, and working capital days have come down to 32 days. Now I would request the moderator to open the floor for question and answers. Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourselves from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. We will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. To ask a question, ladies and gentlemen, please press star followed by one on your touchtone phone now. We have a first question from the line of Pritesh Chheda from Lucky Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sir. Sir, where are we on recouping the gross margin numbers? What actions we are taking, and where are we on the cost curve and the pricing curve?
So, on the gross margin, we will continue to endeavor to protect the 31% gross margin. And at the cost, again, our endeavor will be to maintain it at or about 20%. So that should leave us with protection. I can say our endeavor will be to protect that 11% gross EBITDA margin.
So what are we doing there, sir?
Obviously.
Your earlier communication used to be 31 to 35% gross margin. Today your communication is 31.
Yeah, so that's, I'll repeat, our endeavor will be to protect this 31%. And what we are doing for this is in the quarter on quarter, of course, the last year, we had very volatile, very, very volatile situation, unprecedented in the past, on all input costs, whether it was sea freight, it was paper, of course, our major input like aluminium, steel, copper, plastic. All of these inputs had very, very high volatility. I can say to the extent of input costs in some material cost price increase was even upwards of 60-70%. But we had passed on some price increase, and there was a shortfall of this, and that is what has resulted in depleting of the gross margins. But I can also say that we have taken additional measures over the particularly last quarter and the first quarter of this year, which we are ensuring that we protect this margin. And fortunately also, the costs are also getting slowly favorable. It is not that we are working on this, but we are overall, I can only say that we are working towards this, protecting this 11%. It does not mean that we will end up only 11%. Any of the business works like this. Whenever there is a input cost pressure, the margins are generally under pressure. But wherever the price, when you see that input cost price coming down, then the margins become a little more healthier. Particularly in the last year, because you are seeing that the best times also, that we would have sometimes been at 34%. That was the time when all input costs were actually going down.
So now, have you entered a phase where your pricing increase is now ahead of cost, because we have seen all the base metal prices correcting significantly? Is your last price hike now ahead of that metal price, or you are still behind the metal price? I think until last quarter, you were referring to aluminum at whatever $2,600, $2,800 or $3,000. And now I think most of them should be below. So where are we on that?
So I'll also tell you, I'll guide you something which will give you a little more comfort. In the last quarter, particularly when you see our numbers for the last quarter, we had a one-time raw material, we provided for raw material to the extent of 5.5 crores. We had, during the COVID times, got into some COVID products, and we believe that while we may still be able to recover some, but we provided 100% of that on the raw material input cost. So the margin side, I can say, even in the last quarter, we are ahead of our what we want to protect. We are ahead of even that 10%.
So 5 crore means 2%. So you're already at 68% RM to sales, which means?
Yeah, closer to that.
Okay. And my second and last question is, sir, what was the volume growth that you had for full year in FY20 two.
Income growth is between 18% and 19%. The rest coming from value, then price increases.
And what is the carry forward price increases that are there, which would have taken in second half, whose benefits also should be there in 23? And what is pricing taken so far?
Progressively over the year, every quarter there was a price increase. The whole price increase that we took for the whole year is in the range of 10%. Of course, it will vary from category to category. That was for the last financial year. We did take a price increase again for this current quarter between 3 to 4%.
Okay. And past you were mentioning that you will grow 25% CAGR for a few years. Where are we on that thought process?
The markets are robust, and our endeavor will be definitely to grow at the pace that we have been growing the last 3-4 years.
Okay. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have next question from the line of Achal Lohade with JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good afternoon, sir. My first question was if you could talk about, the employee cost being lower QOQ. And and it's down YY while the sales is up on a YY basis. If you could help us understand, what is the recurring cost or what is the employee cost one should look at on an annual basis?
Yeah. So what happened between the Q3 and Q4 is largely Q3 we had about 33.4 crores of employee cost that was reported. If you remember last time on the call, we had mentioned that included a one-time support that we provided to the employees of about 2.5 crores. So that has obviously not, featured in the Q4. In addition to it, there was an annual reversal of the bonus on variable pay that we had created for all the employees. And therefore, the proportion of those employees who had left during the year and therefore not eligible, that was reversed. This quantum was about 2.5 crores. And then the third component is that there was a regrouping of contract labor costs, which till last year we were, showing it under the employee expenses itself. This time, basically the discussion with the statutory auditor, this has been regrouped into the other expenses. So that is not necessarily a reduction, but more of a regrouping that has happened. So if you see the actual contraction per se between Q3 and Q4 is less than a crore, in terms of the fixed cost that has happened.
What is the quantum of this regrouping of labor costs for 4Q FY22 and FY22?
2.7 crores.
Yes.
2.7 crores for the fourth quarter as well as for the full year.
It is for the full year, and because the Q4 is only the balancing figure between what is reported in Q3, the entire impact of the regrouping would also appear in the Q4 financials.
Understood. My another question was, if you could quantify at this point in time, if you look at the raw material cost, as we speak, what is the extent of price increase we have to take, to pass on that fully? Part of that we would have taken till now, but how much incremental is required apart from the one which you have, already announced or taken? How much more is required to kind of normalize these gross margins to, those 33% or levels?
So, Achal, if you look at Q1 and if you see Q4, both Q4 last year, we took an increase between 3 to 4%. Again, in Q1, we took an increase of 3 to 4%. There was an impact of 18% because of the RM price increase directly on the gross margin. Of that 18%, 11% has been already absorbed because of the net price increase over the year. The balance 7, about 4% has been because of backward integration, we have got some efficiency. That left us with about 3%. And as a result of this price increase, we are fairly confident that we are more or less on track with the RM, unless there is another volatility event which we are not foreseeing right now.
Understood. And, you know, in terms of the, if you could talk a little bit about, you know, the recent acquisitions, what is the thought process here from FY23-24 perspective? What kind of initiatives are we looking at? And what kind of contribution can we look at from these additional categories, from new categories?
It's Kava has just started production, and the range will only complement our existing channel through which we sell the LED. So we are very confident of a takeoff immediately because it's already an existing brand, existing range of products. It's only that moving the manufacturing from their existing facilities to our facilities. That was the only change. So we are very confident of a good contribution coming up from Skava. Skava in the past was, with their own operations, was doing between 10 to 20 crores in the various years. So that is, we definitely see with our network and the larger channel access, we are able, we can definitely cross this number, or grow on that number on the Skava side. And the MedSpec is more of a equipment acquisition. So the factory is being set up, and we did a trial kind of exhibition to understand the kitchen business, and we have seen very, very exciting. We are very excited with the response from the consumers, and we will be now, of course, exploring all the channels for our kitchen. And saying, I can say that it sounds very exciting. To give you an exact number today, it will not be fair. So I don't think I can give a number, but both these business are going to be very positive to our top line and bottom line.
Understood. One more question I had in terms of the balance sheets. You know, we have seen an increase in the working capital debt, and also a reasonable amount of supplier credit, which I noticed. If you could elaborate a bit, what has changed in terms of the working capital for the year, and how do you see it going forward?
See, from a working capital standpoint, I think in terms of the working capital turnover per se, we have been working around the 30 to 33 days of working capital throughout, while you see specific spike during our larger quarters of Q2 and early Q3. As far as supplier credit goes, it is more to do with how we have been approaching the entire working capital from a backing standpoint. We are today largely in the endeavor to increase the trade payables. What we are trying to do is leverage on. We have opened working capital limits with the banks, and under that, we try and leverage as much as possible. Letter of credits ranging from 60 to 90 days from an OPEX standpoint, and also longer term LC for CAPEX. So that is what you're seeing as the supplier credit incremental that has happened. So that is largely what would have otherwise been direct trade payables if I'm able to get source that amount, that kind of credit from the vendor. But this allows the vendors also to get the monies on time, as well as allowing us to get that additional credit at a optimum rate.
And if you could talk about what is the extent of the cost we are incurring for this, and also what is the channel financing and bill discounting outstanding as of March 22?
Can you please elaborate what you mean by when you say channel financing outstanding?
How much bill discounting did we do in FY22, which would also result into reduction in the receivables?
See, as of 31st of March 2022, we've had about 30 crores of our receivables where we have discounted the bills, but the actual credit period had not lapsed as on 31st of March. So that you will see as assets that we have derecognized through the factoring arrangement that we have with our channel financing partners. Now, in terms of coverage, if you ask, today our coverage is about 50-60% of our general trade business is on channel financing.
So 30 crores as of March 22. Would you recall what is the number for March 21?
I wouldn't have that number on me, Achal. Let me get back to you on that. But typically, this if you ask me, would not be really impacting us, because this is the amount of assets that I've de-recognized pertaining to the agreement that I have, and we don't carry any risk of default, because this is a factoring arrangement without recourse to the channel financing partners.
Correct, correct. What I was asking is, in terms of, because this is where we have all, we've also given the cash discount, right, against that, so kind of captured in the P&L. But separately, in terms of the supplier credit, what is the cost for this, in terms of the effective interest cost or higher for the higher credit?
So for us, the working capital limits, whatever we are sourcing through LC, the cost is anywhere between around 6%. You can take from an LC standpoint.
Analyst point.
So as far as the dealer financing is concerned, we are working with a 2.5. So dealer financing for us is actually a translation of only the cash discount policy that we have. So currently we offer about 2.5% CD on our supplies for people who are directly taking on CD. For people who are on the channel financing story, then we are passing that 2.5% to the channel financing partners.
Got it. Thank you.
Mr. Lohare, I'm sorry to interrupt. This is the operator. Kindly come back in the question queue, sir.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. We have next question from the line of Prithvi with Unify Capital. Please go ahead.
Mr. Gandhi, I just have a couple of questions. First, if I look at your presentation, in almost every segment, there has been a volume degrowth for us, except for induction cooktops in this quarter. So what happened in this quarter? What explains this volume degrowth of 10 to 15% in each and every segment?
So, particularly, I'll have to go by the channel itself. So, we had suddenly one modern retailer with whom we are not able to work. Actually, there was a challenge for us compared to the previous comparable quarter. And though we could retain the number, but the growth number, we could not get a growth number because that particular modern retailer, we could not work. General trade, we generally had a normal quarter, but I think there was one item, that one set of that set we could not sell.
Combi.
One combi. And e-commerce particularly, there was a degrowth, and that's where you see the big shortage in the number.
And if this is the case, so how do we expect to grow at 20 to 25% volume run rate, that you are telling? Because I guess even last quarter we had a degrowth, even this quarter we had a volume degrowth.
No, last quarter we did not degrow, but we did not grow normally. We if you will compare, what was our previous quarter, about 250 crores? Q4 of 2021, we were about 250 crores, and this would have been 275 crores. Right? Yeah. So, for us, I think particularly in the last quarter, we would have grown at about 10-11%. It's not that we have degrown. Other than the modern retail and exports, I don't think we have degrown anywhere, including the general trade, e-commerce. It was not the expected growth, I can say. We had growth. It is not the expected growth.
That okay. I was talking on volume, not on revenue. But sir, what's happening on e-commerce? What explains this decline even in this quarter?
No, I tell you that we took a strategic call that we will want to correct our prices both in the fourth quarter and this quarter. We have, between these two quarters, we have taken a price increase of between 7 and 8%, and so when immediately such we have brought in a change, there will be a little resistance from any of these channels. But then that was a call that we decided that we will have this. I can assure you that in the long term it does not really affect business, but for the immediate reaction to such price increases, there will always be from any channel when you say that. There is a price increase. Immediately, there is a little resistance, but in the long run, it gets normalized.
Okay, so when do we expect this to normalize? Say, how many more quarters?
It kind of already normalized.
And then I just have a couple of bookkeeping questions. In your P&L, there is this line item, allowance for expected credit loss or impairment of financial assets, some 5.5 crores. What exactly is that number?
So this has been the provision that we have been creating on our overdue receivables in line with the accounting standard requirements. Largely, this has been fueled this year. If you see this year, for the full year, we have taken a hit of about 13.5 crores on the P&L. Q4 taking that 5.5 crores. So this has largely stemmed from the entire future retail issue that we have had. You will see that Q4, there has been a catch-up. So this was on the fact that we had estimated a certain amount of collections to come from future retail during the year. The shortfall that we had to provide by 31st March. Now we have covered the 100% of the outstanding receivables from future retail under this provision, and we do not have any further overdue receivables which require any further provision.
So even the COVID inventory write-off is completely over, right?
Yeah.
No, we can't expect any more inventory write-offs.
No.
Yes, you're right.
Okay, fine, sir.
Thank you. We have next question from the lineup. Kalpit Narvekar with Alliance Global Investors. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Thanks for taking my question. So, firstly, on the e-commerce front, right? So, you mentioned that there's degrowth in e-commerce. So, and last quarter you had mentioned that there was one of the distributors of a large retailer who was undergoing a reorganization. So just want to understand what is leading to degrowth in e-commerce in this quarter, and has that normalized? Have the volumes from those large retailers normalized?
So let me correct the understanding. When I said degrowth, is we were growing at a very different rate. So if you will say last quarter also, we grew by 24-25%. But particularly on the e-commerce, we were growing at a very high rate. But the growth rate is degrown, not the business is not degrown. So if you will compare between the two quarters of Q4 22 and Q4 21, we will have grown by 25%. But in the last 3-4 years, we have been growing upwards of 50%. When I said degrow is that, yes, why this has happened, there has been continuously it continues to have a disruption within their own operations, how they are moving out from the large sellers to smaller sellers and breaking up. So it is still getting stabilized. It is, I can say it has moved, but still work is in progress. So that is definitely affecting. Second thing is, we are also seeing very high spike in the growth rate of our general trade and modern retail. We believe more people are also started shopping physically. More people have moved to that also, because we are witnessing higher growth rate than normal in both the modern retail and the general trade.
So is it possible to share some number on how much revenues you possibly lost because of this reorganization this quarter, and how many quarters do you expect it to normalize on the e-commerce?
It will be better to understand it this way. We were growing at about between 40-50%. We believe that now the e-commerce will also stabilize at a growth rate of what the company is growing at, rather than having a disproportionate growth. So it will also offset with the higher growth in the other channels. So we believe that, our endeavor will be to grow at the rate we have been growing, and it will not be disproportionate contribution from e-commerce. So e-commerce will also continue to grow at the same rate at the company's growth rate. I think that is the right way to look at it.
Okay, sir. And one last question from my side. So this, on the exports, what kind of volumes were you able to do this quarter? Has the container situation gone better?
Yes. I can say all that we could not ship in the last quarter, are shipped this quarter. In the first month, there was been a very tight situation on the containers, but I think the customers have intervened and we have been able to ship out almost all the inventory that we were holding for the last quarter and the orders that we had for this. So we'll have a relatively good spike in the exports in the first quarter.
Okay, thank you so much, sir. Good luck.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in the interest of time and fairness to all participants, please restrict questions to two per participant. If you still have more questions, please join the queue afresh. We have next question from the line of Rishabh Sher Dalal with Equirus PMS. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. Am I audible?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, you are.
Thank you. My question is more on the macro front. So if you can give some sense about what kind of industry size is it for cookers, cookware, and especially mixers in the kitchen appliances, and how has each of these segments grown in the last 5 years, and what sort of a market share do we have currently in each of these segments? If you can give some sense of it, that would be my first question.
Exactly the number, in terms of market share, we don't have it, we don't have authenticated certified data, but I can tell you in pressure cooker, in the non-stick cookware, induction cooktop, and some appliances, we are growing at much higher than the industry rate. At the rate the industry is growing, we are growing at a much higher industry rate, more particularly on the pressure cooker and non-stick.
Yeah, but if you can give some color on what kind of industry size would it be for cookers and cookware and mixers especially? Just to get a sense of the size of opportunity, that's why I asked this question.
I don't think we have exact data right now to give you numbers. I know it will be unfair to give you an approximate number. Is it okay that we share it with you?
Yeah, sure. If you can share it with us offline, that would also work.
Yeah, we can share it with us offline.
Okay, and my second question would be on the level of penetration. So my sense is that, cookers are very well penetrated, but it's not the case with cookware and kitchen appliances. So if you can share some numbers on what sort of a level of penetration would we have for cookers, cookware, stoves, and especially mixers in the kitchen appliances, if you have some numbers handy.
So I'll tell you there are two ways to approach this. One is, of course, these products are now consumer, their relative life cycle is reduced drastically. The consumer replaces these products at a much more higher frequency than in the past. So it is not that penetration does not mean that the existing customers are no more your customers. They are repetitive customers, actually. And there is always an upgrade that happens from the variety of the product. Example, if you talk about aluminum pressure cooker, the consumer will want to upgrade to either a hardened pressure cooker or a stainless steel pressure cooker and so on. That's why, so if the penetration, imagine a penetration or if we are highly penetrated, I don't think is the way the business opportunity works. In fact, the more the penetration, more the business opportunity, because all these customers will definitely come back to you for the next level of pressure cooker or replace this. Similar is for the cookware, the non-stick cookware. For us, as a channel, the penetration by geography and channels, I can say that we continue to grow our rest of the regions higher than the rate at what we grow in the south. So the opportunity for us in the west, north, and east is relatively much more higher than what it is in the south. The overall contribution from the south may be larger, but the opportunity to grow in these geographies, domestic market from the north, east, and west is much larger.
Any number you want to put to the level of penetration for the segments, if you have any number on hand?
No, I don't think we can give you a number right now. But if you're so specific, we'll dig out this number and share it. Penetration and percentage penetration in each of the regions.
Sorry, I didn't get you.
We will dig out these numbers and share it with you.
Sure. That would be helpful. Very helpful. Thanks a lot and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have next question from the line of Vidit Trivedi with ULJK Financial Services. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Hi. Good evening. Am I audible?
Yeah.
Yeah, so my first, I have two questions. First question is on the balance sheet front. I was going through your annual report of last year. On page number 133, the trade payables as per the annual report was 1706.75 million. But when I look at your reserves for the year ended and the audited numbers, they are 1465.56. So there is a difference of 41.2 million difference. So please tell me on that, which number should I rely on?
Vidit.
Hello.
Vidit, not able to hear you clearly. You were not audible. Can you please repeat your question?
Yes, okay. So I was going through the
I'm sorry to interrupt, Mr. Trivedi. If you can please use the handset. You seem to be speaking on another device or speaker. You may please use the handset, sir. Thank you.
Sure. So am I audible now?
Yes.
So I was going through your annual report of last year on page number 130, trade payables as per the report says 1706 million. But now this year report it is saying that it is 1465.52 million. So there's a difference of 241 million. So could you please tell me which number should I rely on, because there's a lot of discrepancy in that.
So Vidit, you'll appreciate that this year we have had a lot of changes in terms of reporting based on the new Schedule 3 requirement that we've had. And there have been reclassifications that have happened basis, those particular requirements. So if you see on trade payables specifically, the difference is an account of the supplier's credit, which was last year included under trade payables itself. This year we have disclosed it separately as the supplier's credit. And second is on account of what we call as the refund liability. Refund liabilities is basically the provisions that we make on account of future sales returns against sales made in the current year, and on account of whatever schemes provisions that we create, which is to be passed on to customers in the future. These two, which again were part of the trade payables, we have now moved it to separately under refund liability as a separate heading. So you will see the specific reclassifications along with the notes as part of the annual report. But there have been the stark difference that you have correctly identified is largely on account of the reclassifications, which is stemming from the statute requirements of the revised schedule 3.
Okay, fine. Thanks a lot. And my second question is that, when I look at the online marketplaces like Amazon and Flipkart, I can see whenever I search a product, be it electrical or any other thing, the products manufactured by them comes first and then later on your products come. So don't you think this is a disadvantage that you guys are having, and what are you doing in that front?
So I think, to answer that with this, of course, these are their private labels, and for reasons best known from a business angle, they would like to promote their private labels. Having said that, the power of the brand and the power of the consumer always will ultimately bring out the product. The reason why our products come up right after their products and also have the bestseller tag, also have high rating, is largely because of the way we have been able to price the product with the great quality. So what happens is there is a little bit of a marketing effort, but there is a lot more that is coming from the consumer side. The consumer searching for pigeon kettles, the consumer searching for kettles will get to see automatically us, but they will try and promote their products all the time. So that is the way marketplaces are built.
Fine. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. We have next question from the line of Kunal from Carnelian Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity. I joined a little bit late, so excuse me if you've already answered the question. I'll listen it out. So the first question was on the balance sheet front. So basically our borrowings have gone up from 36 odd crores to 121 crores in comparison to the last year. And simultaneously, we see a little bit of jump when it comes to inventory as well, from 156 odd crores to 117 crores. So anything specific out here that I'm missing out to connect?
See, from a borrowing perspective, I'd like to say that there are two parts to it. One, largely, what we have, the actual fund-based debt that we have has actually moved from about 21 crores to 78 crores. Now, this, if you see, is largely stemming from the fact that our working capital has gone up by about 36 to 40 crores year on year. Most of the operating funds that were generated from operations has also been invested in CapEx. Last year has been, a heavy year when it comes to the CapEx investments that we've had. We have spent more than 100 crores on CapEx. Now, that meant that all the investment into working capital and whatever outflows that we have on tax, close to 9 crores that we have paid of tax, all of that were largely, coming in out from, has also resulted in this incremental fund-based debt that you're seeing. Of course, the number that you called out also includes this, all the LCs that we have discounted, which from a reporting standpoint will also come into borrowing. But you see the split, the actual fund-based numbers for us are actually has moved from 21 to 78 crores. And on the 78 crores also, we also carry about 16 crores of cash and cash equivalents on the balance sheet. So our net debt is about 62 crores as of 31st of March.
Also on the inventory, Mr. Gandhi explained earlier, there was a disruption in availability of shipping containers, as a result of which our OEM export finished goods inventory was higher than normal by about 20 crores at the end of the year, March 2022.
Okay, fair enough. And how should, is there anything further to be written off on account of exposure to the countries like Sri Lanka or further? Or we are already done with the credit loss, financial impairment, but there are no more pending now in the coming year.
So the credit loss impairment for us, as of 31st of March 2022, is complete in terms of us providing for 100% of FRL and for the other whatever older dues that we've had. Whatever catch-up that we had to do in the last 2-3 quarters has all been done, and that is why you are seeing that March-May we have taken that incremental hit. While it was about 2.4 crores in the previous two quarters, Q4 alone has been at about 5.5 crores. So the entire provision that was required from the expected credit loss model has been duly provided for as of 31st of March.
What I'm wanting to understand is, as on 31st March, you have provided for any incremental exposure in the month of April, May, coming out on account of exposure to countries like Sri Lanka.
No, so we don't have exposure to Sri Lanka. Just to give you an example, just to give you a bit on pigeon export, either we work with very long time partners with us, whom we have had a relationship over several decades, or if it is a new party, we work with a guarantee, whether it's a PG or an LC, and we make sure that our payments are secure.
Okay.
We don't have any exposure.
Okay, fair enough. And also wanting to understand, also the earlier participant pointed out, right, the competitive intensity of private brands on e-commerce channel has been increasing at a faster pace. So, yes, we do have brand reel of our own, right? But, and also somewhere partly kind of getting reflected in the volume degrowth in comparison to the previous year. So, how do we try to tackle that, or what's your thoughts on that particular piece? Because a very good part of the growth that we were experiencing was coming out of growth we were getting through e-com channel.
Yeah, I think there is a misunderstanding. I would like to say that e-commerce has definitely grown Q on Q as well as YOY. YOY has grown by 37% and Q on Q has grown by about 25%. Given that we have only taken a price increase of 11%, I can safely say that there is an increase in volume as well. Having said that, last year we were at a base of 291 crores. 291 went to about 398 crores. Given that the base today is close to 400 crores, we expect the normalization of the growth rate from between 40 to 50% from a small base to now at the same rate at which the company would like to grow. So I do not see it to be that much of a challenge when it comes to e-commerce. Specifically, our ability to manufacture and at the same time provide variations in various product categories, whether it is different pressure cookers from hard anodized aluminium, stainless steel, and upgrading the consumer, or induction cooktops providing various designs and wattages, or LED bulb innovation, there are enough and more ways for us to ensure that we capture the consumer both from the premium competitors as well as the unorganized segment.
Okay, okay, fair enough. And would it be fair to assume now, in case you've covered in the previous participant questions, is that all the price hike required is now completely gone through and we can go back to our historical gross margins and EBITDA margin current quarter?
So we would like to say that the guidance has always been that we will protect the 31% gross margin on an annualized basis and control our costs within 20-21%, as a result of which, again, protecting the 11% EBITDA over an annualized basis. To answer your question in terms of catch-up, we had a delta of about 4%. We are practically there unless we witness another volatility and price hike in the metals.
Okay, okay, fair enough. Thanks, Rajiv. I'll join back in the queue.
Thank you. We have next question from the line of Ashish Upganlawar with InvestQ Investment Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes, I am.
Yes, okay. I'm trying to understand the gross margin deficit that we had, or rather the decline that we had this year. It's mostly to do with the catch-up that we have to do with the raw material prices. Or is it also to do with the competitive intensity being too high and that would have put a lot of pressure on it bringing down? So could you put some light on these two aspects? Just trying to understand, I mean, this 35% was one of the peaks that we made, or we can go back to these numbers and maybe higher in these categories that you operate?
So I'll tell you, for us, the baseline is that we would want to protect this 31%. But whenever there is, the input cost decline, which we believe that will happen, that's what we believe. Always there is a cycle when it goes up and comes down. In the run to upwards, when the costs are going, and particularly in the last year, everything went up. It is the sea freight, plastic, paper, steel, aluminium, all it was at one go. And we also believe that it cannot be only one-sided going only up, and we are already seeing. So whenever it goes down, it will add to that that 31%. So we base it on the cost of the immediate time before the quarter. And if there is again further input cost coming down, it will only add to the margin. So I can say the range will be similar, but we'll protect the 31. The range, it can also get back to 35. It's not, but then it is unfair to expect that we'll only be at 35.
Okay. So our band typically is between 30-35, the way things stand from maybe a year's perspective, 1 or 2 years perspective now.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Because, sir, on the larger competitors, they are upwards of, say, 40%. So that is not possible for our business, is it? I mean, that's the real reading that we can take from this?
So I don't want to say that's not possible or possible. This is what we want our business to be. We would always want to protect our strength being cost. So when you see our overall cost, we want to maintain it at the 20%. So in a normalized situation, which our competitor is, we will be at the same EBITDA margins, whether at a lower gross margin. The cost is our strength, and we want to protect that. We want to remain we want the strength to be one of our pillars of our growth. And that's why you can also see that we are growing at a higher rate than the industry or the peers. So we will want to protect on the cost side. And then that's why also to the cost to the consumer also we want to be as aggressive. And with this margin that we currently have, is good enough for keeping the healthy growth and healthy margin.
Okay. I mean, you are also entering into a couple of new new categories, basically the kitchen part that you shared in the last call and also the acquisition that you did. So would that not be an additional pressure on your profitability, especially in this kind of environment next year, FY23? Or you think that that is not a big addition in terms of business to impact the overall profitability as of now?
So first of all, these are relatively small contribution to our revenue, but it is an existing business that we have acquired, and we have a channel which is much larger than the business that already had. So in my opinion, it is only a complementing thing to our business. The LED channel, we have a sales network across, almost, I can say, major part of the country. And we are only complementing that revenue additionally with this additional range of products. So it is not going to affect us in any ways in our margins. The kitchen business is definitely new. We were doing this in the past, but a very long time back, there's been a gap. And it will not be EBITDA negative. The business, even from day one, will be positive on the EBITDA side. And we'll always do a business profitability, but I'll profitably. But I will also want to say to the size of the company that this is a very relatively very small contribution to start with.
Okay. Can I ask one more question? Basically, on this write-off that we had around 13 crores. So this is done and dusted, and this is not a regular thing, and we won't have anything like this in this year.
There are things I would want to guide you on. First of all, these are learnings, and today we have moved more towards channel financing, where particularly we also ensure that there is no recourse to us, most of them. Or we also work with, we are more prudent to credit. Even if our general trade, we will either do a channel financing or take some guarantee or work with our large, long-term partners. Of course, this is to do with the corporate that has happened. It's not that today I do not want to say that we have completely lost this money, but we had to provide for that fully, and we have provided for that fully. I can say we are more prudent on that. I don't think such reputation, these are learnings, and I don't think such reputations will happen.
Okay.
The offer had is a part of the larger.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. We have next question from the line of Rahul Ranade with Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. In terms of geography-wise, kind of split of revenue, what we are at currently versus what we started FY22 at?
So FY22, I'll give you a split. If you look at the overall business, we are more or less equal across all the channels at 25% from northwest, east, and south. If you split offline and online, where online we are getting the business of 40% from the south and 60% from rest of the country. In offline, it is about 55% from south and 45% from rest of the country. In Pigeon General Trade, we did a revenue of 380 crores. Of that 380, roughly 55% would have come from south, and the rest has come from west, north, and east. West being number 2, north being number 3, and east being number 4.
Okay. And what would this split be, let's say, 1 year ago? And just trying to understand if there has been a material change in the.
Yeah, because the base for south is large, the percentage change will not be, but the growth in west, north, and east has been in very, very high double digits, almost doubling every year, as a result of which south used to contribute close to 60%, which has gone down to 55%, and the rest of the country was at 40%.
Sure. And just looking at the number of outlets, so this number of outlets which we say 79 to 25, this also includes the LED outlets as well, right?
Yes, it includes LED. LED is about 31,000 out of the 79, and the remaining 47,000 outlets are from Pigeon. Black & Decker is about 1,000 outlets on top of this.
Okay. And so if we were to look, so we started the year with 52,000 odd, which has gone up to 79 odd thousand. So roughly, let's say a 55% odd increase in terms of outlet reach.
And if we look at the offline growth, it has grown around 30-odd%. So just trying to understand, you know, is there, you know, an initial period where the outlets do not contribute much, and is there some seasoning period beyond which you get, the throughput that you get out of the more seasoned outlets? Is that the way to think about it?
No, so you'll need to split the LED business and the Pigeon business separately. The average billing to an outlet or the average size of an outlet in LED will be smaller. LED has gone from about 18,700 outlets to 32,000 outlets. And Pigeon has gone from the rest about, 33,000 outlets to 47. The average billing to an LED outlet can be as low as about 10,000 rupees a month. Whereas for a Pigeon, it'll be close to 50,000 rupees a month or higher. I'm saying the lowest possible. So from that perspective, it's not exactly like to like, but the large part of the billing will happen in Q2 and Q3 because of the festive season.
Okay. So let's say for Pigeon, then like Pigeon out of the overall 52,000 odd, where we would have started the year at 32,000 in terms of Pigeon, that number currently would be sitting at how much? It would be
47,900 is Pigeon out of 33.
So if we look at Pigeon, it is a roughly a 50% growth in terms of outlets, right?
Yeah, correct. New outlets will take time to ramp up. They contribute and they slowly start contributing a lot more over the years.
Let me ask the other way. What would be the ideal throughput per outlet for the more, kind of seasoned outlets? What would the number be for you?
So honestly, I don't have that data offhand. I can come back to you with that.
All right.
Thank you. We have next question from the line of Richa Chaudhary with Electrum Capital. Please go ahead. Thank you. We have next question from the line of Aegis with Unify Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Rajiv, could you give us a breakup of the export and domestic revenues this quarter?
The last quarter?
Just one second.
Sure.
So, export is 24 crores, and that includes Pigeon export as well. And domestic would be the rest of it. Export contributes 9%. So, out of the 270, this is for the quarter I'm saying, out of the 275, 24 is export and the rest is domestic.
Got it. So we would have closed exports, give or take, at about 110 crores a year. So one is, could you speak about how do you expect the exports to grow in FY23? So could you give some color?
Export is growing robustly. The only disruption was in the last quarter because of the unavailability of the containers. We have seen the demand come back, and we have seen good favorable intervention also from our partners in the West, because of which now availability of containers has slowly started to normalize. So we have seen a good growth of export already in the first quarter. Hello? Are we audible?
Thank you, sir. Yes, sir, you are. Mr. Aegis, are you done with your questions? Thank you. We have next question from the lineup. Richard Chaudhary with Electrum Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yeah, hi, Richard.
Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening, sir. I just wanted to ask a question. How much CAPEX next 2 years? And if you could...
I'm sorry to interrupt, Ms. Richa Chaudhary. Your line is not very clear. If you can please come to a network area and then ask the question. Please repeat your question again.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Hello.
You're breaking up. You're a little better, but you're breaking up. Please go ahead.
How much would be the CAPEX for the next 2 years? And if you could give me the volume growth across GT and MT channel in Q4.
for the FY23, we still have a plan for about 45 to 50 crores of capex. And things are ongoing.
When it comes to volume growth between GT and GT, what has happened is that we have grown by about 10% in volume, and in modern retail we are flat because of the because in Q4 FY22 we did not have any billing to FRL, one of the large partners, which was present in Q4 FY21.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. We have next question from the line of Kalpit Narbekar with Alliance Global Investors. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Just one more question from my side. Can you share some color on how the end consumer has accepted the 4-5% price hike that you've done? Because you are kind of positioned in the value segment. So just want to understand whether the consumer is down trading. You know, let's say, for example, if there's a cooker that they want to buy, are they, say, going down from 3-liter to 2-liter or something like that, you know?
No, so it is relative index, I can say. We still continue to be more aggressive than our peers. And for the consumer, it is a relative cost of any other product. And this is a very small, I can say, relative price increase. 4-5% generally does not change to the, because these are low value ticket items. Anyone assuming a pressure cooker, even if their cost difference is about 50 rupees for a consumer, in my opinion, they don't move to a different category. They'll always want to compare where what is that relatively other brands are offering, and then we still remain, I think we continue to be in the position that we are sought of by the value consumer.
And would you have some breakup on rural versus urban?
We are more stronger in the rural markets. Exactly, it is very difficult to give you those numbers, because one thing is we don't control that data from general trade. When I say so, it is not only the distribution. What happens is the larger city will also cater to smaller rural towns. Though they will have distribution in rural towns, some of these, this channel will procure the goods from the larger towns. And also it works in the e-commerce. The e-commerce, we also have direct selling sales that we do to these channels. There is also a sale that resellers do. And we will not have data from where and which city ship. But I still very confidently say that our markets are are stronger and further growing at a higher pace in the rural markets compared to the urban market.
Well, thank you, sir.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. That was the last question. I'd now like to turn the conference back to Mr. Rajendra Gandhi for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
We really thank and appreciate the time and the involvement in the company's performance and patiently listening to us and having asked the questions. We really hope that we are able to answer each one of your queries, and there are some of those that we would be directly writing to you, whichever we are not able to provide immediately. But if any of you will have any questions, anytime you can write to us directly or to our investor relationship team at Orient Capital. Thank you again.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Stovecraft Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining with us, and you may now disconnect your lines.